Greetings and salutations. My name is the Assassin, AK-47, and this is the Lighten Up Brother Podcast with Fuego del Sol. Fuego del Sol. We wasn't here last week. It was Thanksgiving break. We had our Thanksgiving. We were family. But it's a whole new week. We got to bring the podcast back. We took a week off, but wrestling did not take a week off. It was pandemonium. Lots of news outlets spewing all kind of stuff. Huge, insane, like, comebacks we never thought would happen. Let's talk all about it. We have to jump right in. Fuego del Sol, how are you feeling right now? Just tell me your overall feelings before we get into the big topics.
You know, I'm a little all over the place. First of all, you know, we took a week off for Thanksgiving to let people settle in. And I hope if you celebrate, you had a great Thanksgiving. We actually got to link up for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
We filmed a separate podcast, not this podcast, something we're working on for the KBW channel. If you're a KBW fan, definitely stay tuned for that. But let's not waste any time. CM Punk returned to professional wrestling. Even more surprisingly to some, he returned to WWE. January 2014, the last time we seen CM Punk, Phil Brooks, Pepsi Phil, in a WWE ring. And I knew that the possibility of this happening was high. I just did not think it would be Survivor Series. I thought maybe they hold off. They kept it very close to the chest. I'd had some talks with some guys backstage at WWE. I knew Randy Orton was going to be the fifth man, so there was no chance of Punk being the fifth man. Had no clue that he was going to come out at the end of Survivor Series. The music hit, cult of personality, in living color. Everybody goes berserk. I was with a bunch of wrestlers at WrestleCade in North Carolina. We're all going bananas. Me and Allen Angels are grabbing each other by the shoulders. And like, Punk just came back. Punk just... It was insane. It was insane. And while I believe the majority of people are positive about this and are happy about this, I know there is a portion online that are upset, that are mad, you know, that took AEW side, that took, you know, the elite side. They picked sides when I don't think necessarily you need to pick a side. And then he comes back on Raw and he cuts a promo. Just the sheer magnitude of this moment, right? There's a lot of words being thrown around, you know. Hypocrite is a big one. We heard Seth Rollins say it on Raw.
Right.
There was a lot of things going on. There was a lot of things going through my head. I'm sure going through the wrestling world's head. Twitter X is ablaze with just different opinions. But here's the God honest truth, I feel like. I feel like professional wrestling is better with CM Punk in it. And maybe I'm biased because I know the man. Maybe I'm biased because I bought his t-shirts when we were backyard wrestling on a trampoline. You know, there's just something about him that is captivating. He knows how to suck you in emotionally. He knows how to connect with audiences. Whether you like him or you hate him, you care about what CM Punk's doing. And you can't avoid it because it's everywhere. Because he has that magnetism about him that wrestling fans love. They flock to CM Punk. He's always doing something either on camera or behind the camera that gets the wrestling world talking. And that's why we had to immediately jump on here and do a podcast. We're not waiting for Thursday. We're doing it right after Monday Night Raw to talk about CM Punk. What do you think about Punk being back? Give me your thoughts.
Oh, man. It's a lot to take in, right? Of course, CM Punk did come back to professional wrestling. We didn't think he'd ever come back to wrestling at all, but he came back to AEW first, and that was monumental. That was shocking. That was like, no way, Punk is wrestling again. He's in a different company. So, but of course, we know the storyline of that, right? Things didn't work out. You know, the guys in the back, for whatever reason, they didn't mesh well. Whatever, you know, happens. But it was always like, well, are we going to see Punk again? Because, like, there's always this, like, thing with Punk with WWE. It's like, would WWE ever bring Punk back? Because it's always people always talk about bad blood there. He didn't leave on a good note. So it's like, there's no way. Then people's like, maybe there's a way if they can let bygones be bygones. And lo and behold, it happened. Like, I was shocked. I honestly, for me personally, I did not think Punk was going to show up at Survivor Series. I was one of those people, I was like, it's not happening, guys. Don't get your hopes up. I was that guy. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to stand right here with my 10 toes down. I was like, Punk is not showing up tonight. I didn't think so. I didn't think he was going to be at the Royal Rumble. I thought I would never see Punk in a WWE ring. I was just, in my mind, I was like, there's no way. There's just too much bad blood there. I don't see they actually giving it okay, especially with, you know, like Punk said tonight, is like he's kind of controversial. He had a lot of, you know, things going on in the back with AEW that wasn't great. Not a great look. Does WWE want that right now? It hasn't been that long either. It's only been like, what, 3 months ago this happened? And it just felt very soon. And, you know, there was no mention of AEW night, of course. And, you know, I'd be like,
I want to touch on all of that. You said it, right? You say bad blood. You say animosity. Right. You say on a bad note. No, it was the worst note.
Yeah.
Right? He walks out of the company. They give him his release papers on the day that he got married. Right? He goes on a podcast to voice his frustrations. He gets sued by one of the WWE doctors. This lawsuit goes on for multiple years. Causes animosity. Causes hatred, causes falling out, a bunch of stuff that really ruined and I thought forever disconnected Punk from WWE. And it for sure, I felt like, made him fall out of love with professional wrestling. Then AEW comes along. Mm-hmm. It reinvigorates professional wrestling. It challenges WWE. It gives fans a different option. It makes me, as a hardcore wrestling fan, excited again. And I think the buzz around AEW, the fan base, the focus on professional wrestling slowly piqued Punk's interest, slowly got him back to loving the thought of being a professional wrestler once again. And then he comes back. And I couldn't believe it. I was so happy as a Punk fan for so long. And I feel like he got the wrestling bug once more. He re-found his passion for professional wrestling. Dare I say, he fell back in love with professional wrestling. They say you never forget your first, AK. They say you never forget your first love.
Did they say that? Is that what they actually say? Who is they? And everyone says they say this, but no one actually knows who is they that we're implying here.
It's a common thing. Punk found his love for professional wrestling again. And then, due to backstage bullshit, mm-hmm. due to a bunch of drama, due to a couple passive-aggressive shots took back and forth. Backstage bullshit... Mm-hmm. took CM Punk away from wrestling for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And he thought about, what did he want to leave? He could have left when Brawl Out happened. He did not. They found a way to work around it. They created a whole second show for the man just because he wanted to return to wrestling that much. Unfortunately, things didn't work out because the rosters are not fully split. We had more backstage bullshit that led to Punk departing from AEW. And even though he left on a sour note, I don't think for 1 second Punk stopped loving professional wrestling. And if anything, I think because he had that bug, because he still had that passion, because he rediscovered the fans and the love of the in-ring work. He had no other choice but to reconsider his relationship with WWE. To reconsider, hey, Vince is not there anymore. The product is as hot as it's ever been. A lot of time has passed, and they're reaching out to me. They want to apologize. They want me back in professional wrestling. They want me back in the WWE. And because I want to be in professional wrestling so badly, they're the only place that can pay me. Why not? Why not once again turn the wrestling world upside down?
Yep.
And do it one more damn time. Now.
Yeah, you said a lot there. You said a lot.
Does that make him a hypocrite? Does that make him a sellout? You know, everyone wants to bring up the promo where he said he left professional wrestling way back when he first signed with WWE. And he refound professional wrestling when he signed to AEW. He took a lot of shots at WWE in AEW. And so now, for things to turn out how they did, and for him to go back to the WWE, talk about never say never.
Yeah.
But I can't be mad. I can't call him all of these bad words. There's a CM Punk fan in me that just wants to see him in that ring, on that microphone, on my television screen every week. And I'm happy that Punk is back.
Man, damn straight. I share a lot of what you said there. And for all the cheerleaders who's like WWE fans, like cheerleading right now, I want y'all to really think about this. I honestly don't think CM Punk is in WWE right now if AEW was never a thing.
Like, oh, definitely
said,
not.
Like you said, he fell back in love with professional wrestling because of AEW. He got that bug again because of AEW. That's my honest truth. That's why I honestly think he fell in love with it. AEW is so new and fresh. He's like, oh, these new, they're doing it different. Like, they're not PG. They're kind of like, you know, exactly what Punk wanted from wrestling, I think, during that time. So.
And even just a touch real quick, I think Triple H and WWE realized how big of a challenger AEW was. And it made them reconsider things and made them change things up. And I feel like the product is as hot as it's ever been because AEW challenged WWE. WWE now is back in a prominent spot and doing things the right way because they had some competition. So all of this is full circle. All of this is butterfly affecting each other, yep. If you know what I'm saying.
It's a lot to take in, like you said. Like there, you said a lot of stuff. I said a lot of stuff. Punk, at the end of the day, is back in WWE. You like it or hate it, he's back.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah, it's happening. It's here. He's back in WWE. It's hard to even say right now. It's still, like, I know Survivor Series was Saturday, but I'm still not over. I know he was just on Raw.
Dude, yeah, watching Raw, him sitting in the ring, I tweeted it out. I said, this doesn't seem real. This feels weird. I felt this way when Cody was there, but now it's, if this is just insane.
What is 2023? Like, what is going on this year? Like,
everything.
So much is going
What's
on.
What's not going on this year? And this is the thing. It's like, now that the initial shock has wore off,
exactly.
We have a lot of questions. What's next for CM Punk? What does he say? What does he do? He didn't take one disparaging shot at AEW.
Nope.
But he really didn't call anyone out. It was just like, hey, I'm back. And that's great. But that's not why we love CM Punk. We love CM Punk when he's going in on somebody, when he's got a vision and a goal and someone to verbally spar with on the mic and in the ring. So I'm looking forward to the first actual feud of CM Punk's new WWE run.
Yeah. Well, there were reports that said, like, he didn't sign till like the day of. Like, they said, like, early that morning. There's a lot of people said they didn't really know, staff didn't know. I mean, who really knows if that's actually true or not? But they're saying that he didn't really officially sign the deal. So this is all like a last minute, maybe like a last minute decision. Who knows? But it kind of felt that way when I watched Monday Night Raw tonight because it was building it up, right? Punk's back. He's got the microphone. He's going to talk to the WWE world. Like, it's been 10 years. It's a huge thing. We're waiting. 3-hour show. And then they give him like 7-8 minutes at the end there. It kind of felt, I was like, come on. Like, is this what we really, I felt like a little bit. But we could have got a little bit more from Punk there at the end of Monday Night Raw. Because this is a huge thing. We haven't seen Punk on Monday Night Raw in, like, literally like 10 years.
Yeah, I was hoping for an angle, some type of direction. We really didn't get that, but we did get Punk saying, you know, he's back. And seeing him in the ring is almost enough. I watched all of Monday Night Raw because of CM Punk. But I feel like I don't want to make this the whole CM Punk podcast.
Of course.
We touched on it. It's been nearly 15 minutes now. What else do we got on the agenda tonight? We're not doing any rapid fire, just covering main topics, covering the big pay-per-views. What's next?
Like I said, no rapid fire this week because we had a lot going on, you know, with the Punk's back, Randy Orton's back as well. We got to talk about Full Gear. The pay-per-views got to talk about Survivor Series, but we're going to talk about Full Gear now. We got also something else huge and, some people, let's say controversial happened, was a match that happened. We got to talk about, I will still say probably the last 2 weeks, the match of probably the year at this point. I don't know. I'm still thinking about that. But Swerve and Hangman, oh my God. We didn't, like I said, no podcast last week, so we could talk about it. But we're talking about it now. Holy shit. I can't believe that match happened.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, I agree. Definitely one of my top five matches this year. And I watch a lot of wrestling.
Yeah.
Not only that, maybe, quite possibly, my feud of the year. I genuinely have enjoyed the three matches that they have had. I'm sorry, two matches that they have had. Wrestle Dream and now Full Gear. It's very rare, I feel like, that we see so much hardcore deathmatch type gimmicks that you could do anything to truly shock me, to surprise me. But when these two men not only managed to have one of the best deathmatches I've ever seen, but to evolve as characters, we've never seen these men be this despicable, be this fueled by hate, and to go this far, to push themselves physically. I've seen Hangman and Mox go at it earlier this year in a death match, all the way at Revolution at the beginning of this year. This is a different Hangman. It evolved him as a character of this is pure hate that he's fueled by, so much so that he is going to do whatever he can to cause pain and physicality to Swerve Strickland. Even if you set the shocking blood drinking spot aside, I know a lot of people saw that. It's one of the most viral clips AEW's ever had. It's insane. It's disgusting. It's shocking. But
yeah,
the match itself, so creative. They took things to a whole nother level. They managed to elevate each other in a way that I wasn't prepared for. I wasn't expecting. And that I'm so glad we got to see. Outstanding performance for both men. Couldn't believe Swerve beat him again. And it seems like they're going in different directions now. So Swerve got two victories over Hangman. Future world champion, I say Swerve.
Yeah.
Future AEW world champion.
I want to see it.
Kudos to both men. Kudos to both men. What do you think?
This is what you just said. I want to see a Swerve championship run. We need it at this point. He is so sinister. He is so menacing. I need that championship belt around his waist and watching this wreak havoc through AEW, man. I need that right now. But going back to the match, I want to touch on the whole, you know, drinking the blood thing. I'm just going to say this. Was it disgusting? Yes. Was it too much? Yes. But for them, I say no. They earned that. They earned that. This feud was so intense, so heated. It was when I watched it, it was disgusting, but it was like I was watching Game of Thrones or something. It felt right in this situation. When you watch Game of Thrones, you watch a Breaking Bad when something crazy pops off, this character does this insane thing. It feels real though. It feels this is exactly what should have happened.
Absolutely. Feels real. Feels real is the best way to say it. Feels real. They had us emotionally invested. I believed in their emotion. There was no acting there. It almost felt Hangman made me believe that he hated this man's guts and that he wanted to see him bleed and that he would quench his thirst with this man's blood as long as this guy was bleeding, or, you know, as long as he could get his hands on this guy.
Continue. And I want to bring up a tweet that you tweeted out. That's something about all indie wrestlers. Don't, just because you saw this on AEW Full Gear, don't do this on the indie scene. Because these guys, they deserve that. They earned that. Like I said, I feel like they earned that moment. But yeah, I think you tweeted that you didn't want
to.
Yeah,
see Swerve even responded to it with a gif of the floodgates opening. It was like a dam. So I was like, it's clearly gonna happen. But like that's what wrestling is about. It shouldn't be about moves or spots or shocking, unearned brutality. It should be about story, investment, and emotion. And they earned every single bit of that. Whether I agree with the spot or like it or not, it added to the match because it was earned.
Exactly. And, of course, like I said, I want to touch on that. But also, the match itself was incredible. I already said, I think maybe for me, my match of the whole entire year so far. It was just that menacing and that cruel. I love dark stuff. When I watch my TV shows, when I play video games, like, I'm a big horror game guy. I love this darkness. I love that sinister, like, that eerie feeling. And they gave me that in that match. I don't really get that feeling in wrestling much. That eerie, that dark, that gritty, like, oh, I'm, like, squeamish right now. I'm watching a wrestling match, I'm squeamish? What is going on? That's, yeah, like, the feelings they gave me. I was like, bro, this is, like, something I never felt before in a match in a long, long time. And just perfection for me.
So much, so many things. You got a buckshot lariat early. You got the Orihara moonsault with a barbed wire chair. You had that disgusting chair shot to the back that the barbed wire then got caught over Hangman's face. You had the brick spot where he takes the DVD on the brick and then he knocks it off. You had Prince Nana taking the dead eye through the table. The glass on the back and then the 450 on top of it. Just so much brutality, man. Hardcore in the best way.
Yeah, for sure.
Again, I agree. I think definitely maybe the match of the year.
Yeah, that's pretty much all. I mean, we can go on and on about it. I know a lot of people already put their thoughts.
Kudos to both men, man. I just, it reinvigorated Hangman Adam Page for me. A guy I felt like was kind of spinning his wheels earlier this year. Had a direction, had a goal, and delivered in every way. And then Swerve is just coming into his own as a top guy, as a future champion, and I can't wait to see what he does next. I wouldn't be shocked if he wins the Continental Classic, but we'll touch on the Continental Classic later. Let's switch gears, though. Back over to War Games. You know, I kept thinking this in my head. It's like Full Gear versus Survivor Series. I don't like picking a winner. I like picking what is the best stuff. And there was one match that stood out above the rest. I mean, it's kind of overshadowed by the Punk return. But the men's War Games match was not only a good match, but I just think the story even leading up to the match was so well done. The Judgment Day has been feuding with Sammy and Cody and Jay all over the place. We injected Seth Rollins into this. We injected Drew McIntyre into this. And we got the return of one of the greatest of all time. You know, unfortunately, he got stuck in that loop of rematches and bad booking and boring content in the early teens, 2010s. But it'd be a foolish not to give Randy Orton his flowers. Oh. Come back looking shredded. Looking as jacked as he's ever been. Like in a whole ass beef stick. Randy Orton coming out there, hitting a gnarly RKO. You see the babyface side, and they all are so over. I was thinking about that. Like Seth Rollins, he's got his song as the champion. Jey Uso, you got the hand gesture now going all, you know. Sami Zayn refinding himself as a babyface singles wrestler. We got an Olay chant. We got a Sammy chant. You know, Cody Rhodes. Whoa! Got the pinfall. So over. And now the returning Randy Orton is like, you don't see this. I feel like that's when the business is at its best. When you have multiple super over top babyfaces. We got it with Rock in Austin. You know what I'm saying? We got it with Macho Man and Hulk in Ultimate Warrior, and now we got it again with Seth, with Randy Orton, with Cody Rhodes, with Jey Uso, with Sami Zayn, the returning CM Punk. Things just feel hot, and I love it. I love it, and I think the Judgment Day has been so over as a faction and being able and found themselves in a way. I thought, even though maybe sometimes the week-to-week stuff gets repetitive or boring or skippable, when it comes to making a pay-per-view meaningful, when it comes to building stars that you're interested in, this had every ingredient to make a masterpiece of a match, of a, you know, chef's kiss finish to this. And I think it sets up the direction of Monday Night Raw going forward for at least until January. We got a lot of time to kill between now and the Royal Rumble. Oh, yeah. I'm very interested to see where all of these moving pieces fit.
I'm interested as well. I am, like you said, the last thing, one of the last things you said there, hot. It is so, like Survivor Series ended on such a hot note, and that was before CM Punk came out. It was like fire. That whole match, War Games, like you said, Cody Rhodes. We got Sami Zayn baby facing it up. We got Seth Rollins in the mix. You know Seth's going to do his thing. It's just incredible. Like, so many great wrestlers all in one ring, having a great, great match. Stories lining up. This intrigue. Can't wait to see how things unfold leading up to the Royal Rumble. And like you said, Royal Rumble, Cody announced. We're going to get to it later, but he did announce on Monday Night Raw that he's the first entry, basically, in the Royal Rumble. So I'm excited to see how that all unfolds as well. So all around, just so hot, so good. I'm so excited to see the future of, like, what, like, they have so many, like how do I put this? Like, it's like pots of gold all around, and they just, like, putting their hands in different pots. Like, oh, which, it's just like they're eating up right now. We're eating good. It's so good.
When you have this many overacts, it helps you keep things fresh when you can switch up things. And, like, I feel like it snowballed into Monday Night Raw very well, but we'll talk about Monday Night Raw in a little bit. I do want to touch on a couple other matches at Full Gear that I liked. I mean, then we'll go back to War Games and okay. Survivor Series in a minute. I'm a little disappointed. I thought we might get a Devil reveal at Full Gear. And we did not. And then I thought with the way that the night was going, I thought we could even see Jay White win. Yeah. After MJF got beat up early in the night. And I really feel bad for Jay White. We didn't get any of that. We got MJF overcoming a lot of adversity. And then all of this intrigue about who the Devil is over these past few weeks, and he didn't show up at all. And it's just, it feels a little disappointing. And I'd sad to say, I just, for the world title feud to be the main event, it lacked something, I feel. The match was still really good. I mean, MJF making that top rope elbow drop when the table was already broken, yeah. Disgusting. I think, though, it completely confirms that Adam Cole is the Devil at this point, because you're really only waiting for him to get healthy, so you do the reveal. And I don't like that. I don't like when you're having to wait for something. Yeah, don't build the Devil up. Don't build the Devil up so much if you can't pay it off at the pay-per-view. The pay-per-view should be the culmination of a lot of things. But I don't want to be negative about it. I still think when Adam Cole does turn, it's going to be super exciting. I still think Jay White can bounce back in the Continental Classic. I just, maybe you put something else in the main spot there if that's the direction you're going to go. Again, I don't like the fantasy book, and I do not like to be negative. I feel like we at least have to touch on it.
Sure.
And again, I do think in the long run it's going to pay off. I just didn't like that this seemed more like a Dynamite match than it seemed like a pay-per-view match. But again, I'm positive about the future. Do you want to touch on any of the MJF-Jay White thing?
Yeah, I wanted to touch on what you said about the devil. A few weeks ago, I did say that I felt like they were stalling, and that's I still feel like that way. Like you said, you feel like they're waiting for Adam Cole. And I get that. I get the disappointment. And also, which is crazy because we just talked about CM Punk back in WWE, there was a lot of people saying CM Punk was the devil. So that's how crazy this whole situation is with Punk being back in WWE, and we still don't know who the devil is, because that was a whole debacle too. And the fact that we didn't see the devil actually, you know, reveal himself at full gear, then really the talk start, oh, CM Punk's maybe a Survivor Series now since he wants the devil. So anyways, that's a whole debacle. We don't got to get in touch into that anymore. But overall, I do think the match was good, like you said. MJF, Jay White, I think they killed it. They're two great, great, great professional wrestlers. I think MJF has been a great, great champion so far, and he's really been putting on a lot of, and proving a lot of that. Like, I feel like a lot of people, when MJF became champion, they're like, he's great on the mic, right? He's such a great, like, he's such, the mic work is incredible. But they were like, oh, his wrestling isn't, you know, what we think, you know, kind of lackluster. But I feel like he really, like, I would say, put the doubters to sleep, because he has been putting on some great, great, phenomenal matches. I understand maybe the story isn't fully there, maybe the, you know, intrigue isn't fully there, but the match itself, the matches themselves have been really, really fucking good, and I just want to shout that out, because I think they really killed it, obviously. But like you said, the devil situation is kind of, it being stagnant and like not really knowing where they're going to go with it, and kind of like the stalling and waiting, and like, let's figure it out, what's going on. That's kind of like tainting the overall main event itself, but I will say the match was really fucking good.
Yeah. I definitely want to make sure I'm positive about that. I have enjoyed the reign. The matches with Joe and Cole were good, but definitely the match with Brian, incredible. Yes. The Iron Man, one of the best Fatal 4-Way matches I've ever seen with him and the rest of the other pillars. But just switching gears on Full Gear, another match I very much enjoyed was Orange Cassidy versus Jon Moxley, or as I called him that night, Mox Lesnar, because he was taking all the Superman punches. It took everything in the world for Cassidy to beat him, but he did. It was a rematch, you know, from a while back when Mox won and took the international champion from him and ended his historical reign. But AEW has a good way of trying to fix things and trying not to make the obvious happen. Like, Mox, it would seem that, oh, Mox is just going to get the title right back. But no, you told a different story. You had Orange Cassidy overcome Mox, and I think it elevated Orange in a way and didn't hurt Mox. Mox rarely loses, ever. And so I really like how it was built. I think both of those men are tremendous professional wrestlers. I think it told a great story and could have been my match of the night if Swerve Strickland and Hangman didn't exist. Simple as that. I'm excited to see where this goes for Orange Cassidy moving forward. What do you think of that?
I'm right there with you, because we did talk about it 2 weeks ago when we were leading up to this match. Like, we were both saying, like, we really don't want Moxley to just, like we say, oh, it's going to be like deja vu. It's rewriting, like, oh, because, you know, something happened and we got to basically get back to where we wanted to get to. And we was all thinking, like, man, like, we really don't want Moxley to win in this spot, because they'll feel like we just, you know, just doing the same thing again. But they, like you said, AEW knew that. They knew, yeah, we can't do it. We have to have Orange win in this spot. And not only have Orange win this spot, make him look incredible, make him look resilient. I feel like Orange, when I watch him, I feel like such like a underdog. Like, I'm rooting for him every single time. Like, even though, like, he's been incredible, like, you don't want to probably might see him as the underdog, because, you know, he's been winning a lot. But it's just his aesthetic and how he goes about things. Like, you always want to root for Orange, and he's so good in the ring. He's so charismatic. He just has that it factor, for me at least. And it's so great to see him defeat Moxley in that way and have such a resilient, such a hard-fought match. And people going in thinking Mox is going to win, because, like I said, Mox usually doesn't lose. And Orange just winning in the spot elevates him even more. And I'm excited to see where Orange Cassidy goes from here. So I think the match was incredible. Two great professional wrestlers, like you said, they killed it. But for me, Orange really, like, showed up and, like, really elevated here, winning this one.
Yeah, I completely share that sentiment of him elevating himself. looking forward to see where that goes. Another person I feel like they elevated themselves, Julia Hart, brand new TBS champion. You know, ever since joining the House of Black, she wrestled on Dark a lot, and she was trying to hone in on this new Dark heel character, and then she slowly added new things to her repertoire. She's got one of the prettiest moonsaults now in all of professional wrestling, and it seems like she's finally grown and discovered that confidence to make her a big star in professional wrestling, and I'm happy for Julia. I'm excited to see where she takes the TBS championship.
Yeah, me too. Julia's a beast, bro. I'm just going to say she's a beast. She has been working her ass off to get to this spot. And the crazy thing about it, she's so young. People don't understand how young Julia Hart actually is. Like, she is so young, and being a TBS champion right now.
Yeah, youngest champion ever. Youngest champion ever.
That is insanity to me. It just shows how hard she worked, how every day she was busting her ass, training to get to this spot, really embodying the House of Black like character, and really, like, people were so into this because of Julia Hart. If it wasn't for Julia Hart, I don't, like, anybody else could be in this spot and might not do as a good a job. But Julia Hart, she set her mind to it. Said, "Oh, this is where we're going. This is the path. This is the story. I'm going to just go straight in. I'm going 100 miles of running. I'm not looking back. I'm going all in with this character. I'm making sure I got the look. I got the skill. I got every single thing to make sure everyone is bought in to what we're doing here." And she did it. Everyone is bought in right now with Julia Hart. She made it happen. And this is why she is the champion right now, because all the work she put in for being in the House of Black faction all this time and showing how great she is and how menacing and how like sinister she can be, showing that dark side, and also being such a great wrestler as well, because she has been, you know, just performing great before our very eyes, being so young and just putting on dope matches and just elevating herself as well. It's incredible to watch, and I am so happy for her. Like, she tremendously like deserves this. Like, I'm like I said in the very first thing I said, she's a beast. Much respect to her. She's killing it, and I'm very, very happy that she is the new champ.
Yeah, everybody, I feel like, is excited for her future. If we switch gears, though, from one member of the House of Black to two others, the Kings of the Black Throne in the ladder match, I might be in the minority here, but I feel like we do ladder matches way too often, especially in AEW. And, however, I do like the teams in this match. I like FTR. I like the Kings of the Black Throne. I like LFI. And I do like the pairing of Big Bill and Ricky Starks. I don't know if this match needed the ladder match stipulation, but all guys worked hard. There was some crazy stuff in this match. However, in the long run, I don't know if this is remembered for Ricky and Big Bill's title reign. We'll see where it goes. You know, these four teams have been a big part of all the major storylines on Collision, and they have kind of carried the Collision flag. And I don't know what's next for the tag division. I don't know who the next guys up are. I guess you can kind of switch gears and say that the Bucks just got their tag title shot took from them by Kenny and Jericho. And it's Jericho even confronted them in the press conference that they would be next. That's another thing I guess I really should switch gears and talk about, is the Young Bucks getting beat by Kenny once more, being these newly found heels, maybe even taking a break. They decided to end being the Elite. They decided to not show up at Dynamite. What is your overall thoughts about the Young Bucks right now and the tag division as a whole?
There's a lot to tap in here with the Young Bucks. Like, what are they thinking? We all know the Young Bucks are very smart. They're very good on social media. They always have. I always feel like the Young Bucks are two steps ahead of everyone. They usually have a plan in place for them. I feel like they have a plan. I feel like something is in the works. They have something cooking. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know when that spot. Maybe they want to take a break and come back and like reinvigorate themselves or something. But I do think the Young Bucks has something cooking, and I'm excited to see what they got going on. But I am pretty shocked that Kenny and Jericho won here. I was kind of rooting for the Bucks in this spot. They just turned heel. It felt right, I thought. But Kenny, again, you know, beats the Young Bucks with Chris Jericho. And now, like you said, switching gears to that, the tag team, next up with the tag team belts. It's possible they could actually win the titles at this point. I don't know.
I could see it. So, I didn't like the stipulation. I didn't like the stipulation of... I mean, I don't mind the Bucks putting up their shot, but when they said, oh, if the Golden Jets lose, they have to disband, it was like, wow, they just started. I don't see them disbanding unless Kenny was going to turn heel too, which I just didn't see that happening. So, but I do like what you said. I do think the Bucks stay two steps ahead, and I hope for the same here, and we'll see where it all takes us. One more match I really want to touch on this pay-per-view is another new champion, Timeless Toni Storm. I feel bad for Hikaru Shida. It does seem like her last two reigns were cut short. However, I feel like Toni is hot right now. Yeah. We touched on it 2 weeks ago. I feel like with these vignettes and all of these, this new direction Tony's took, it's been interesting, but it didn't necessarily make me want to see her and Hikaru Shida anymore. It didn't make me feel like there was any real tension there. It just made me feel like Toni was the bigger star right now than Shida, and that's proven it. So now she's got the title. Now, you know, not only is the most featured woman the champion, but we have a story direction. Where's this thing going with her, Mariah May? I'm interested in it. I like the black and white. I like this new direction. And I like the match. Shout out to Hikaru Shida. But I'm looking forward to where this story is taking Timeless Toni Storm.
Yeah, of course. I know I've been sharing my love for Shida on this podcast for weeks. And again, shout out to her. So much respect. Like I said in the very beginning of this podcast, when I think of AEW, I think of Shida because she is so great. She is really a pioneer in my eyes. And I do hate the fact that her reigns haven't been the best, but I'm glad she got the title anyways, and I'm glad she's a two-time champ. That makes me happy about that, and she is just an incredible wrestler, and I don't think this is in for her. I think she could possibly, down the line, become a three-time champion very, very soon. But like you said, Toni Storm is just so hot right now. She is, you know, the vignettes, her character work has been, you know, all the eyes are on her. She's great in the ring. She's good on the mic. I like her whole entire aesthetic right now. She's been doing the thing, and obviously Mariah May and her are gonna have a lot of story, a lot of build up with them too, that I'm very, very excited to see.
Yeah, let's quickly now jump back into Survivor Series. I want to cover a couple of the matches real fast, and then we can jump into the Women's War Games match, and then Raw and all that. Santos Escobar versus Dragon Lee. The future of professional wrestling. I really like Santos Escobar as a heel. He's turned on Rey Mysterio recently. Jumped Carlito. Dragon Lee, I've talked about how good he is in ring and put him over on this podcast the past few weeks. He and Santos had a really good match. Santos rediscovering himself as a heel. He was a heel in NXT. Had a ton of potential. Turned babyface to reformed the LWO, but it's back to see him in his best form. I thought they had a great match. I like Santos and think both of these men have tremendous upside, and you can tell that Triple H has put a lot of effort in to making sure that all the international stars are treated with respect. Just because someone doesn't speak English well, doesn't mean they can't be stars in professional wrestling on American television. And this is a perfect example of that. These two men had a great match, and the right man won. Can't wait to see Santos then mix it up with Carlito and Rey Mysterio very soon.
Oh yeah, I share exactly what you just said. There's not much to add on to that, but Dragon Lee, such an incredible performer, man. And I love watching Dragon Lee wrestle. He's so good. Also Escobar as well. They're just incredible. They put on a great match, and it's just so, so intriguing to see where Escobar, like you said, the whole Carlito of it all, where's that going to lead? I'm excited to see it. And like I said, Triple H with the international wrestlers, huge shout out to there. I'm glad you touched on that, because that is something that we've been seeing a lot lately, and I'm all for it, because like you said, just because they don't the English isn't their first language, why can't they be on top and actually be like the face of WWE? So
yeah, he's shown it too with reinventing Shinsuke Nakamura and giving him a new lease on life on Raw, and I think he's going to do the same thing with some of these Lucha guys on SmackDown. The other two matches on Survivor Series were two champions retaining their titles. Rhea Ripley beat Zoe Stark. She had a breakout performance. I really like Zoe Stark. But you're not stopping Mommy. And you can say the same thing about Gunther. As much as people respect The Miz, and they, you know, there's been a lot of discourse of, did The Miz deserve this chance? Is this match cut and dry? Because we know Gunther's going to win. Regardless, you got to build up challengers. The Miz is as good as anybody at stirring up shit and making people care. And I feel like even though the outcome is what we expected, doesn't mean that the journey wasn't good before we got to the expected destination. I like that both Gunther and Rhea Ripley retained. That's pretty much as much as I want to say about that.
Yeah, same for me here. I'm glad they retained. They're hot right now. No need to take the belts off of them. They're dominant. They're showing their dominance. They deserve to hold the titles, and hopefully we'll see like a challenger eventually get built up and take one of them down. But as of right now, they're just too good and too dominant and such a force that they both deserve to retain here. And huge shout out to Gunther. And I want to, you know, shout out to Miz as well. I know a lot of people wasn't really looking forward to the match. Kind of thought it'd be lackluster, but I thought Miz and Gunther had a great, solid match, and I was pretty impressed, and I think they did a good job there. So shout out to those guys. Of course, Rhea Ripley, Zoe Stark, and like you said, I'm all about them retaining here.
The women's war game match. Io Sky had a great showing in that match. The women's champion over on SmackDown did the big dive with the trash can over her head. Bianca Belair, it's good to see her back. A lot of these women are just so over. Becky, Charlotte, Bianca, Io, Bayley, Asuka, the returning Kairi Sane. A lot of just interesting characters in this match. Was Becky and Charlotte going to be able to get along? Was Bayley and Kairi going to be able to get along? I thoroughly enjoyed this. I feel like Shotzi had a good showing. Triple H said that on the press conference after. Even though I don't know exactly what's next for Damage Control and for the women's division over on SmackDown, I thought this story was built up well, and we got a great culmination in the women's War Games match. Kudos to those girls because they killed it.
Oh, yeah, definitely kudos to them. I want to say, like, looking back on it, like, how far we have come. Because I remember growing up, like, the women's division was like a laughingstock. Like, it was always like the sideshow. Like, oh, there's always the joke of, oh, the women are on, like, you know, it's like pee breaks and all that. Not anymore. Definitely not anymore. Like, the women are here. They're awesome. They're incredible wrestlers. They're putting on matches even better than the men a lot of the time. So, like, what are they even doing here anymore? Like, it's incredible the way WWE is finally, like, shit, like, because like it was a long time there where, you know, we had a lot of like, you know, it was like, oh, these are very cookie cutter women's matches they just throw in there. But now I feel like the women's division, especially WWE right now, is so hot, so vibrant, so many great female wrestlers who are just so good at what they do and showing that they deserve to be here. They deserve to be in the main events. They deserve to be all over the show, and that's what we got here. Such an incredible match, and like I said, I'm very, 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 very looking forward to what's next with everything there.
Yeah, vibrant is a great word to use there. Bayley took the pin, you know, Bayley being the supposed leader of Damage Control, even though Io is the champion. You got all these Japanese girls in the crew, and you know, with Dakota Kai being hurt right now. Do they turn on Bayley? Does Bayley catch any of the slack for the fallout, for the loss? You know, we've had Damage Control now for over a year. Is it time to shake things up? We will see where this leads on SmackDown. It's very intriguing. But I thought the way they all hit their finishers and then big time Bex hitting the manhandle slam through the table on Bayley at the end was a fun way. And like you said, the fans loved it. You know, they start with the women's gore games, and fans were all about it. The women are just as big as stars as men and can wrestle just as good as the guys, especially in WWE right now, and I enjoyed it. Should we talk about Monday Night Raw? Should we talk about where, you know, they had Randy open the show. They had Cody and Seth at the crossover hours. They ended the night with CM Punk. You have a lot of intrigue about what's next for Punk. You have a lot of intrigue about what's next for the World Heavyweight Champion, Seth Rollins. You know, he's going to wrestle Jey Uso next week. Drew McIntyre and him had a little bit of a segment of a little bit of talking, and Drew wants a title shot, and he got real pissed off when he found out Jey was getting the next title shot. Sammy called him out. That leads to a match. I think something happens next week where it's going to lead to a four-way match between Jey Uso, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, and Sami Zayn. Not next week, but I just think it'll lead to a match down the line for the World Heavyweight Championship, and I think that's great. We saw Shinsuke challenge Cody Rhodes, so they're going to hold each other over until the Royal Rumble. We got brand new number one contenders for the tag titles in the Creed Brothers winning Tag Team Turmoil. I like the Creed Brothers a lot. I think they'll put on a really good match with the Judgment Day. So good to see Randy Orton back. So good to see R-Truth back as well. So yes, funny.
We didn't talk about that yet.
Yeah, Truth's the man. I feel like that's the thing with Raw. You know, I don't think sometimes the match is not as fast-paced as AEW, so you're not really caring as much about the matches. But the story build-up after a pay-per-view, you want to see what the new directions are. And they gave us that in a lot of ways. And still left a lot of intrigue on the table. 3 hours makes it a long show, but overall, I enjoyed Raw.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well. I share what you think, what you just said. Randy Orton being back, Super Jack, and of course, love R-Truth. I love that segment we had with Judgment Day there. It was so hilarious that he wanted to be the fifth member for War Games. Like, Truth, War Games was 2 days ago.
I thought that was good, but I liked the Jelly Roll one even better. Jelly Roll? Oh, what is this Jelly Roll? Going to catering? We're going to catering? Platinum War winning. He didn't know it was Jelly Roll.
Love it.
That was good. And then real quick, I know we're running real over, but the Continental Classic over on AEW. It's a weird tournament. It gives us some fresh matchups, but I can't pick a winner right now. Maybe Swerve in one bracket and Bryan Danielson in the other bracket. I didn't get a chance to watch Collision this week, but I saw the winners. It gave Mox a chance to bounce back and win his match, even though he lost at the pay-per-view. It gave Jay White a chance to bounce back and win his match, even though he lost at the pay-per-view. There's a lot of fresh things going on. But it feels like it's going to take up the majority of AEW television for the next few weeks. And I hope we can still get some story out of it and not just a bunch of matches, if that makes sense.
That makes total sense, because AEW is known for doing this a lot when they have these tournaments, or like you said, now the classic. We just got to figure it out. Make sure the story is there instead of like just the matches. Now, of course, the matches are going to be great. AEW always puts on great matches on TV. We all know
that. We're spoiled with them. We're overlooking how good the matches are now. You have to drink someone's blood for us to really appreciate a great match. We're too spoiled with it. We need stories and emotional investment.
Yes. Yeah, and I think I share what you say. I think Swerve is a good like contender for this. Also, you know, Bryan Dennis as well. So that might be they might be going head to head.
The only weird thing is they're making this Triple Crown Championship. So, right, I think Swerve needs to be going after the world title. So maybe he doesn't win it because we're going to have this Continental Champion as well as the Ring of Honor World Champion as well as the New Japan Strong Champion. Still a little confusing about where they're going to go. Is it going to lessen the Ring of Honor Champion? Are they going to defend all three? Like, it's weird. I'm a wait and see guy though, so we're gonna wait and see.
Yeah, we'll wait and see on that. It's a lot to navigate for AEW right now with this whole thing they got going on. So I feel like they'll figure it out.
Absolutely. Real quick too, I want to say that about a couple of hours before we filmed this, QT Marshall announced his departure from AEW. At the end of 2023, he will have fulfilled all of his obligations to AEW. A man that helped me tremendously. I know he helped train you as well down at the Nightmare Factory. just shout out to him and whatever he's going to do next. If I know anything about QT Marshall, he's not leaving AEW unless he's got something bigger already worked out. So I can't wait to see what he does next. I know he feels like he's been hitting his stride in ring, winning that Latin American championship in AAA. He just recently lost it, but me and him had a really good match together. He's only gotten better. His look has only gotten better. His physique has only gotten better. His matches have only gotten better. And I know he wants to focus on in-ring duties. And so maybe he's taking a step back from the backstage stuff. But whatever he decides to do next, I know that he's going to prove a lot of people wrong and kill it on every level.
Oh, yeah, of course. I love QT. He taught me a lot when he trained me at the Nightmare Factory. I love that he's just a no-bullshit guy. Like, if he told you you were fucking up, he'll let you know you were fucking up. Like, he didn't cut corners with you.
He doesn't sugarcoat anything. He doesn't sugarcoat
anything. And I respect him so much for that. I needed that tough love. I needed that, what he gave me when he was training me. Like, he really, like, instilled in me, like, his wisdom. Just his psychology wisdom and just how much he really knows about wrestling. And a lot of people just don't know how much QT knows, and he's so smart. I know a lot of people, they think, oh, he's just a backstage guy.
Due to nepotism, QT, you know, just because Cody brought him in, he doesn't get the credit he deserves. And he deserves a lot more credit. And I try to preach that. Even though me and him have had our problems in the past, we help put each other on the map in a lot of ways and get people to rethink their opinions on QT Marshall and Fuego del Sol. And so there's a mutual respect there always. And I really can't wait to see what he does next.
I love QT. I just want to say one more thing. Just doing promos in front of QT when I was trained there and just training in the ring with QT was such an honor, and I'll never forget it. And I respect every single thing he does. And I thank him. Thank you, coach. You're amazing. And I can't wait to see what you do next.
Do we even have to do match of the week? I think we know it. It might be match of the year.
Yeah, match of the year. I mean, but I guess we can count it because I guess it was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but still, I'm counting it.
Yeah, of course. Swerve and Hangman is the match of the week. Probably match of the year. Book it.
It's done with. Indie Wrestler of the Week. Who you shouting out? Who you supporting here?
I actually haven't. I'm this is like on the spot right now because I didn't come prepared for this week, actually. So off the top of my head, I'm going to go with Cameron Jackson, my good friend Cameron Jackson. I love Cam. Me and him had some few run-ins in the backyard wrestling days. Great indie wrestler. He's up and coming. He's so charismatic. One of the most charismatic, funniest dudes I ever met in my entire life. I don't think I laugh as much as I ever have when I'm around Cameron Jackson. That dude could be a comedian at this point. He is one of the funniest people I know, and he's such a great wrestler. He's so charismatic. He's so fun to watch. So shout out to Cameron Jackson. Much love.
I just want you to know, pretty much every week on the spot, I put out my wrestler of the week. You prepare. I do not. I was actually in North Carolina this past week for WrestleCade, and I got to hang out with Cameron Jackson. The dude is a promo machine. He's an impression machine.
Yes.
He's very underrated because a lot of people don't know about him. And I told him he's got to get out there more and tell people about him. And that's what we're here to do, is to put some people over. I got to hang out with him and our fellow former backyard wrestler, now turned pro. He was an indie wrestler of the week a few weeks back in Drew Hood. It was great to see them both. I want to go from one North Carolina guy to another. A lot of people don't know about this guy. He's really good. His name is Bojack. B-O-J-A-C-K. I watched him on a Twitch stream a while back versus Andrew Everett for Deadlock Pro. They had a really good match. And then this past Saturday, I had a six-man tag against Bojack. And he's so over, super charismatic, real big Jack dude. And he's got a bright upside. So I would love to run it back with him in the future. Shout out to Bojack. We'll have their socials in the descriptions below. Check them out. And we will see you right here next week. No podcast Thursday. We'll see you right here next week on Lighten Up, Brother, with Fuego del Sol.